Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tech Loft Podcast. I'm your host, Sal, and I know it's been about a month since the last episode. It's just a matter of finding the space to record, to cleanly record an episode. I really want to continue this. So please, I only ask for some patience. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to me, the podcast, the Tech Loft Podcast, on all the major podcast channels from Apple to Google to Spotify. We are powered on anchor.fm, and it's a great way to start your own podcast. It's free. It's got a lot of tools to craft, to produce your iPod at a really good quality. I enjoy using it, and like I said, it's free, and it does all the distribution to all the major podcast platforms. In this episode, we have Sony reporting some supply issues, which is going to affect the PlayStation 5 into next year. Rumors of a PS5 redesign. And finally, we got, I'm going to tell you guys, maybe if you haven't heard of a project called Amazon Sidewalk. I'll tell you more about it, in its segment, but it's nothing new. It's been out for a while, but it's been officially released in the app, Alexa app. So, that's what we got coming up, in this episode of the Tech Loft Podcast. Just sit back, relax, and listen. Okay, so for our first article, it's regarding Sony warns tight PlayStation 5 supply to extend into next year. So this has to do with the shortages of the silicon chips for the consoles, but this isn't just for consoles. It's all across the board, computers and stuff like that. I think graphics cards as well are suffering from shortages. So what's going on here is Sony Group Corporation warned a group of analysts the PlayStation 5 will remain in short supply through 2022, suggesting the company will be constrained in its ability to boost sales targets for its latest games console. While reporting financial results in late April, the Japanese conglomerate said it had sold 7.8 million units of the console through March 31st, and it is aiming to sell at least 14.8 million units in the current fiscal year. That would keep it on pace to match the trajectory of the popular PlayStation 4, which has sold in excess of 115.9 million units to date. In a briefing after those results, Sony told analysts it is challenging to keep up with the strong demand. The PS5 has been difficult to find in stock since its release in November, in part because of shortages in components such as semiconductors, and the company hasn't given an official estimate for when it expects supply to normalize. Here's a quote from Chief Financial Officer Hiroki Totoki, who said this at a briefing. I don't think demand is calming down this year, and even if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units of the PlayStation 5 next year, our supply won't be able to catch up with the demand. Man, this isn't good news for myself, because I have to still pick up a PlayStation 5. I'm waiting for the refresh model that they usually, that second version of it, where they maybe work out any kinks and stuff like that. That's, there's nothing major in the first generation, but yeah, I want the second one this time. Sony said it would buy back up to 200 billion yen of its own shares after reporting profit for the March quarter that fell short of analyst estimates. It forecasts that operating profits should slide about 4% in the current fiscal year, but analysts have been weighing whether the company could exceed the conservative outlook with the help of strong demand for the new console and games. Shares have dropped about 8% since the earnings report on April 28th, after rising 75% over the previous year. Totoki told analysts that Sony needs to ramp up production as soon as possible and to make sure there are consoles on store shelves. Demand will remain high regardless of the COVID-19 situation. The CFO assured an analyst wary about Sony's ability to fully capitalize on the stay-at-home entertainment surge triggered by lockdowns and emergency orders. He said, "We have sold more than 100 million units of PlayStation 4, and considering our market share and reputation, I can't imagine demand dropping easily." Still, the company's latest earnings report suggests that stay-at-home demand is leveling off. Sony said monthly active users on PlayStation Network fell to 109 million at the end of January to March period from 114 million a quarter earlier, as sales of full games also declined in the period from the year earlier. Rival Nintendo warned last week that component shortages could affect production. It's officially targeting sales of 25.5 million consoles in the year ending March 2022. Down slightly from previous year, but internally, Nintendo's management said it should be shooting for production between 28 and 29 million consoles, Bloomberg News has reported. So, yeah, hopefully this doesn't go for too much longer. I do want to get my hands. I mean, I'm not running out tomorrow to find one. I'm not actively looking for one. But like I said, when that free refresh model comes out, which I also heard that they're going to be changing chip sizes and stuff like that, which should help. I got to look for that article and share that with you guys as well. Okay, so now, as I discussed in my previous segment, I mentioned that Sony was doing a chip redesign, which they're trying to help with the production. So we have here an article, PS5 redesign reportedly coming in 2022 with this big change. So redesigned PS5 with a new AMD chip could be in the works already. Now, from what I understand, it's not a PS5 Pro. I should be operating at the same power and all that stuff. When I mean power, I mean computing power. So let's go on with this article. The PS5 is so popular that shoppers are clamoring for PS5 restocks 6 months after launch, but there could be a big change on the way that's worth waiting. So there's an article from DigiTimes that reports that the semiconductor manufacturer TSMC is planning on producing a redesigned PS5 at some point in the second and third quarters of 2022. Oh man, that's a long ways away. and it could deliver considerably more power. Oh, well, I stand corrected. Because I found a previous article that said that it wasn't going to be any more powerful. It was just going to maintain the same amount of processing power. But like all refreshes, sometimes the less energy consumption and all that stuff. But anyways, let's go on with this article. The idea of a redesigned PS5 might seem a little premature given the current PS5 isn't even a year old. But the lack of stock and challenges around semiconductor supply did see Sony CFO Hiroki Totoki suggest stock shortages could be overcome with electronic product design or finding other supply chain resources. Here is another quote from Totoki. For example, we could find maybe a second resource for semiconductors, or by changing design, we could cope with semiconductor shortages. This is what he said in his fourth quarter 2021 earnings call. It is unclear whether Totoki is referring to the PS5 here or other electronics or both. But combined with DigiTime supply chain sources, the idea of a redesign doesn't seem too far-fetched. According to DigiTime sources, the redesigned PS5 could sport new silicon with a new semi-customized CPU from AMD built on the 6 nanometer process node. The current PS5 uses a 7 nanometer custom octa-core AMD Zen 2 processor. The move from 6 The move from 7 to 6 nanometer could see the PS5 deliver a performance boost and make more efficient use of power. Well, there you go. It's always an efficient use of power on that second generation, and that's refresh. In effect, we could be looking at a PS5 Pro. Oh, but I thought we weren't. Everything that this article is saying is totally contradicting an article that I read not that long ago. But anyways, this wouldn't be the most unusual thing, as the PS4 Pro followed the PS4. But that was after 3 years after the latter's release in November 2013. Admittedly, a late 2022 release would mean only a two-year gap between the launch PS5 and the prospective Pro version. But with semiconductor shortages making it difficult to find the current PS5 and its digital edition counterpart, moving to a console built around a different processor fabrication node could see Sony bypass that shortage. That's assuming that 6 nanometer chip yields could be strong enough to come with prospective demand. We have no way to verify DigiTime sources, but that's not stopped our brains from imagining what we would like to see from the PS5 Pro. An obvious one would be a more compact and less striking design, perhaps one that can better integrate with existing entertainment units. Maybe it's talking about its physical footprint, which it does seem pretty big. More power and increased SSD storage space would also be appreciated, as the 825 gigabyte of storage on the PS5's super fast PCIe 4.0 SSD isn't very spacious for modern games and their large install size. And usually we do see an increase in storage space with a refresh model. With the PS4, they started out at 500 gigabytes, and then after, you can buy a new model with a 1 terabyte. Right, they just doubled the memory, the memory, the design, but the guts inside, the power of it remain the same. Having said that, we're only now just seeing the power of the PS5 get put into proper action, with the likes of Returnal really showing what a game can look like and deliver when built specifically for a single platform. So there's likely a lot more to be had out of the PS5 before we get an upgraded one. Time will tell if this supply chain leak results in a new games console some 18 months down the line. Again, I'm thinking of a refresh model, new design, because that always comes out a couple years later, if I'm not mistaken, but it does come out. And then, of course, we have Pro versions with updated graphics. But I would think that would need more RAM and all that stuff. And that would just be more semiconductors, more chips and everything like that. But there you go. PS5 redesign for 2022. Okay, so my final article that I found here, it has to do with an Amazon project called Amazon Sidewalk. Now, I'll tell you how it works, and it's nothing new. I'm just on the Amazon website, and it is first published September 27th, 2019, and actually just a few days ago, there an article that's titled "Should You Opt Out of Amazon Sidewalk and Other." Should you opt out? And that was published June 5th, 2021. So quite a few years have gone by. I have not heard of Amazon Sidewalk, but it wasn't in the app up until recently, after I found the USA Today article and I looked in the Alexa app, and I did find the option for Amazon Sidewalk in there. So let's take a look at what Amazon Sidewalk is. So get connected. Convenience beyond your front door. Many of the smart devices in our homes today rely on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi connections to stream music to a nearby speaker or help a video doorbell notify us when a package is delivered. But these connections only extend so far. Then it goes on to saying that cellular technology can be complicated. So it, which is good for long distance, but yeah, again, complicated. In the space around homes, that leaves a middle ground for devices like sensors and smart lights that can benefit from low cost, low power, low bandwidth connections. Customers shouldn't have to settle for connected devices that lose functionality functionality past the front door, which is why we're excited to announce Amazon Sidewalk. Amazon Sidewalk is a new long-term effort to greatly extend the working range of low-bandwidth, low-power smart light sensors and other low-cost devices consumers install at the edge of their home network. Using the 900 megahertz spectrum, we are developing a new protocol. We project can increase the connection range of these devices by more than 0.5 mile, 1 kilometer. With Amazon Sidewalk, customers will be able to place smart devices anywhere on their property and know they'll work great even in dead spots and where Wi-Fi and Bluetooth don't reach. Using the 900 megahertz spectrum to help devices communicate isn't new. In fact, it's been around for decades, providing reliable, secure connections for long-range devices like radios used by emergency services and the digital pagers carried by doctors on call. It's by combining this tested communications network with an innovative new protocol developed by Amazon that will arrive at Sidewalk. A new way for the next generation of low-cost, low-bandwidth sensors and smart devices to work together to create a secure network for long-distance connections, bridging the connectivity gaps around our homes. So if I can summarize what they're saying is that it's creating a mesh, a low frequency network mesh around your home, which expands device by device. So you can get greater coverage. And this is especially useful for the, if it's safe to say, the Internet of Things, sensors. For example, like the example of the little sensor in the mailbox that, you know, once it's triggered, it tells you that mail is, you got mail waiting for you at the street, you know, without traveling there and just finding it empty. Yeah, that's what it's pretty much telling us to do. The immediate benefit of 900 megahertz based network is the ability to use your favorite connected devices, even if they're located far away from the router inside your home. Today, Ring smart lighting bridges use connections in the spectrum to extend the range of smart lighting products, and soon additional devices, including the latest generation Ring floodlight camera and Ring spotlight camera, will also help customers extend the network connections around their homes and control those 900 megahertz devices at much greater distances. That's pretty much it. And it goes on talking about this new service called Fetch, which has to do with pets, especially dogs. You can put the little sensor around your dog's collar. And once it reaches a certain area in your private 900 megahertz network there, I believe you get notified that your dog has wandered off, something like that. But that is Amazon Sidewalk. So far, it sounds like a great idea and all that at first glance. But let's see what this article says about opting out of Amazon Sidewalk. The switch has been flipped on Amazon Sidewalk, the tech giant's version of smart neighborhoods connected by an array of its gadgets. Amazon, which originally announced the networking project in September 2019, plans to make Sidewalk operational on its Echo devices June 8th. So we've just passed that date. The low bandwidth shared network uses a smidgen of your home Wi-Fi to connect Echo devices, Ring security cameras and lights, and Tile Bluetooth trackers to help everyone's devices get connected and stay connected, according to the description of the company's website. This connectivity across neighborhoods could come in handy when, say, your Echo speaker or Ring camera loses its Wi-Fi connection. When that happens, Sidewalk can more easily connect, reconnect your devices. So there you have a benefit. Its purpose of it. And as Amazon says in its project description, Sidewalk can also extend the working range of your Sidewalk enabled devices, such as Ring smart lights, pet locators called Fetch, or smart locks. They can also stay connected and continue to work over longer distances. Amazon doesn't charge anything for Sidewalk, and the company says multiple layers of encryption provide privacy and security for your personal data, but Amazon has gotten some flack for automatically opting its users. This is indeed true. When I went into the app to opt out of this feature, it was automatically switched on. Your devices are automatically participating in Amazon Sidewalk when your app is updated. You can use the app to opt out, which is something Shelley Palmer, CEO at the Palmer Group, a tech strategy advisory group, said he plans to do in part because of the automatic opt-in, and I quote, "I don't like the idea of being a node on an Amazon peer-to-peer network and enriching the richest man in the world with my bandwidth, my data, and my money." yeah, I guess that's it. That is the last of that article. I mean, we can go all the way back and be like, well, you have his products in your home. Why did you buy them in the first place if you don't want to make the man richer? But the true point here is the automatic opt-in of this. And like the article says, if it uses a smidgen, I wonder how little that is of your own internet access to connect and create, maintain the private little Amazon network around your home and in your neighborhood, because they all get interconnected, if I'm not mistaken. But there you go. USA Today, tech strategist there, Shelley Palmer, says to opt out because he doesn't want to maintain that private peer-to-peer network. But that's what I wanted to bring to the table, is the Amazon Sidewalk. If you use Amazon devices around your home, take a look at the app. And if you want to opt out, you can, because you are automatically participating in the Amazon Sidewalk project. And that is all for this episode of the Tech Loft. Well, that is all for this episode of the Tech Loft podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you can, leave a review on your favorite podcasting platforms. And if you enjoy the podcast, the Tech Loft podcast, please give it a like. Please subscribe. Anything you can. I am going to open up some channels for support. Any financial support will be coming. That if you want to donate coffee or a few shillings, I'm going to open that up to see if anyone wants to participate in that and becoming a subscriber/sponsor of this program. Once again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time on the next episode of the Tech Loft podcast. Thank you for listening. Ciao for now.